Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
The Galway Film Fair is Ireland's top annual film festival and one of the country's major cultural events. This year, in response to the pandemic, the festival will take place online for the first time ever. And we're going to see how exactly that will be happening, as well as some of the films from the programme, as we are joined at this time by Galway Film Fair's artistic director, William Fitzgerald. Will, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I'm happy to speak with you about the new edition of the Galway Film Fair, which is very exciting. We're going to talk about how it sort of has responded to the global pandemic. But first, because I know that maybe some people listening to this may not be familiar with the Galway Film Fair, would you maybe be able to introduce it a little bit? And also maybe talk about sort of its role within the Irish film industry.
Yeah, the Fair is, we kind of like to think of ourselves as the flagship Irish festival. That might be a bit arrogant of us, but there's three major festivals in Ireland, Cork, Dublin and Galway. I suppose Galway's identity within that circuit is sort of the industry festival. We have almost from the beginning, 32 years ago, we've had the marketplace attached to the FLA. So a lot of business gets done at the festival, as well as all the screenings. And it was kind of founded as well as a platform for Irish artists and to foster and nurture the growth of the Irish industry. So it's always had that kind of, industry element as part of its identity. So yeah, that's kind of how we fit in. And I think we're known as being a good fertile meeting ground and a social festival, which is one of the reasons why it's so bittersweet to be going online this year. And I would also think that, again, if it doesn't sound too much like we're tooting our own horn, that we're a good festival of discovery as well. Like our shorts program is pretty well renowned at this point. We added another Oscar eligible category to the shorts competition this year. So we have three Oscar accredited short film categories now. And, lots of Irish filmmakers through the years have come up through the FLA. Lenny Abramson's first short was there in, I think, was 1993. Kristen Sheridan, Lance Daly, I could go on and on. But Irish cinema is our sort of, we're advocates for it, as well as being a festival of international cinema.
Right. And we talked about the industry, but also it draws in a nice audience. It's a warm festival, I always felt like.
Yeah, I think so. I think it comes back to that sort of social element that's always been a part of it. I think when people talk about Galway, they always talk about the sort of camaraderie of the rowing club, our social club, after the screenings, as well as the screenings themselves. We've always billed ourselves as a no red carpets festival. We try to keep, no barriers between the audience and the artists. We try to be as convivial as possible that way, even as the festival continues to grow year on year. We try to retain as much of that identity as possible. And I think it's why the international guests love coming here as well. It's sort of a break from the norm of the red carpets and the velvet robes. And it's just sort of a kind of friendly free for all. But we owe a lot to Galway that way as well, like the city itself. I think, Galway's not one for notions. We don't tend to chase celebrities down the street when they're in town, kind of like to, would rather share a pint with them down at the rowing club after watching their film or something like that,
That's true. And everyone always talks about the rowing club, so I'm happy that you mentioned it. If they go to the FLA, they're always like, great vibes in the rowing club. Yeah, it's a major cultural event in Ireland. And like you said, it's hard to believe that, it had to adapt to the current pandemic. But of course, that was the responsible choice in the name of health and safety. But was it a difficult choice to make?
Yeah, and we didn't come to it lightly. It was after some sort of, we did a lot of troubleshooting. We looked at, could we possibly postpone? But we knew that even if we did that, we'd probably be looking at social distancing still, even if we pushed back to like August or September, which I think, our hunch on that will be worn out to be true. And again, going back to everything that I was saying about being a social festival and a convivial festival, having it with social distancing in place just didn't feel right. That didn't seem in keeping with our identity as a festival. That didn't seem in keeping with who we are. And the other thing to bear in mind is that, you know, when you think back to this was sort of, you know, in April when we were in the planning stages of all this, and back then we still didn't even know what some of the major A-list festivals were doing. Like Cannes were at one point talking about postponing until our dates, and we didn't know, you know, are we going to be clashing with Cannes if we go ahead with the physical festival? So when the digital solution presented itself, it seems like the perfect kind of fit of, you know, well, we can't all be together, but at least we can be together online. You know, if we do our jobs and we worked hard enough, we can foster a sense of community online by getting everyone talking about these films. And, you know, that's what we aim to do.
Yeah. And before we talk about the program itself, I mean, how is the online edition going to work? Where are people going to be able to stream the films?
So everything's available at galwayfilmfly.com. It works, I suppose, just like any sort of streaming service, a movie streaming service or rental service. They're all available to rent from our website. You just click and buy. You can buy a season pass as well. Once you rent a film, it's available in your online library. You have to create an account when you log onto our website. The films that you rent are available in your library for a certain amount of time. Most of them are for about 30 hours of a playback window, and they're only available to buy. The other crucial thing is that tickets are limited, so they're only available to buy until the final day of the festival or until 400 tickets are sold. So that's kind of how it's one of the kind of security measures that we put in place for the films and for the filmmakers. A rough working set of rules has kind of emerged for these online events, and to reassure filmmakers entering their work into them. And one of them is, you know, the limited ticket sales. Another one is that festivals doing this would geolock their screenings. You know, the other thing is obviously digital security, studio grade DRM, so that they can't be pirated. And all of these things are kind of there to, I suppose, preserve the continuity of the festival circuit and to reassure the filmmakers about the security involved.
Sure, yeah. Before I forget, what are the dates of the festival?
It's the 7th to the 12th of July, so next Tuesday through to Sunday.
It's time to talk about the movies. So, Will, what's this year's program looking like?
Yeah, my favorite part. So it's a smaller program. You know, like I was saying there about sort of working to make this a communal experience still and to make sure that we foster community online. We felt that we had to pare back the program. Like normally the Galway Film Flat program would be about 100 features and probably another 100 shorts. So this year, to sort of focus audience attention on one film at a time, we're showing about 40% of that. We've got 39 features and we have about 73 shorts. It's about 40% new Irish cinema. 10 of those are world premieres. And then we have a great international program as well that's actually sort of in the spirit of, you know, unity and coming together throughout this whole crisis. Our international section has largely been co-curated with other European festivals. We've formed a new festival network as part of our Galway 2020 European Capital of Culture project that we call Europa Festivals, that we plan to keep it as a network going forward as a collective within Europe. And we decided one of our pilot projects would be to co-create a new film competition. And so that takes up a large part of our international program as well.
And what are some of the films that you think particularly stand out from the program?
So we have an opening night, the new Irish documentary, The Eighth, I think is still incredibly topical. It follows some of the leaders of the Together for Yes campaign from the Irish abortion referendum 2 years ago. And since that referendum, you know, for people who are familiar with Ireland or possibly with, you know, politics in the region, it's still, you know, the conversation around it is still ongoing. And this film kind of takes you back through that journey from the beginning of the campaign through to the resounding yes vote in 2018. And it's sort of it's a real emotional roller coaster of a film, particularly, you know, if you're Irish or from Ireland or spent time there and you know the sort of the deep-rooted, I suppose, Catholicism and other factors, you know, necessitated that change 2 years ago. there's just sticking to docs. There's still like the documentary section is incredibly strong this year. Pat Collins' new film, Henry Glassy Fieldwork, will be showing that on the Sunday. That's, you know, people familiar with Pat's work know he's one of the best Irish directors working in the current moment. Song of Granite and Silence were just two incredible dramas. And this documentary has that same sort of really assured sense of pace that Pat brings to his films. It's really meditative. And I think, you know, Sunday afternoon where we've programmed it is a perfect kind of time to just sit down and you know, let yourself be immersed into it. We have a great new Irish language documentary called The Tribe of Gods. That one is made by Loic Jordan while he was living on Tory Island off the coast of Donegal. His previous film, Turning Tide in the Life of Man, was all about islanders living on Inishbofin and their fight for their fishing rights in Europe. And this one kind of focuses on the residents of Tory Island and the last days of the last Irish king who lived there until recently, Patsy Dan Rogers. And then moving into dramas, we have some incredible first feature debuts at the FLA this year. Redemption of a Rogue is a particular favorite of mine by a director called Philip Doherty, who has a theatre background and that I think is really evident in the film. It's also blackly comic, and it makes some great use of theatre actors as well, like Aaron Monaghan, who people will know from some of the Druid productions that have been staged here in Galway, as well as shows like Vikings and things like that. We have the first feature from Phil Sheeran, who people might be familiar with from his short film work. That one is called The Winter Lake. It stars Emma Mackey from Netflix's Sex Education. And it was written by David Turpin, who wrote The Lodgers from a few years back. We have a new Irish-Lithuanian co-production from first feature director Lina Luzite. That's all about it's a coming of age story of a Lithuanian teenager living in Dublin. And we have a really funny sort of Arrested Development style kind of comedy on our opening night after the eighth play is called Poster Boys, about a sort of down on his luck merchandiser who has to look after his nephew for a weekend. And that's a first feature from a Dublin director named Dave Minogue. So, yeah, lots of discoveries and lots of great documentary and drama in there.
Yeah, it sounds great. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Pat Collins' new film, actually. And I understand that there's going to be an In Conversation series.
So I suppose every year at the normal physical festival, we would host masterclasses with sort of, you know, luminaries from each of their individual fields, actors and directors and writers. This year, we decided not to go with a full-on intense, you know, three-hour masterclass because that sort of taxes people's attention on a Zoom call. So instead, we've kind of paired them back to the idea of these sort of hour-long, approximately kind of fireside discussion-style conversations with various artists. So we've got one with Keith Carradine, who's, you know, a prominent working artist, working actor for years, starting off in films like Nashville, right up until today, where he's you know, he's featured as a character actor on so many US TV shows, including probably most prominently Deadwood. We have a screenwriting conversation with Nicole Holofcener, who, you know, is a terrific indie director who people would know from like Enough Said, Friends with Money, and Can You Ever Forgive Me? Fantastic films like that. I mean, she'll have so many pearls of wisdom for both writing and directing, but in this particular conversation, we're focusing on the art of screenwriting. And then we also have a great director's conversation with Joe Dante, who, of course, fans of genre cinema will know from, you know, Gremlins, The Howling, Small Soldiers, and he's in conversation with Ashlyn Clark, who directed The Devil's Doorway 2 years back. So they have a really fun conversation about genre cinema together.
Wow. And there's a couple of more things that I wanted to ask you about the FLA. One thing that we haven't talked about yet is the short competition, which I believe, you know, is eligible for Oscar qualification. Is that status been impacted at all by the pandemic?
No, actually, thankfully, with thanks to the Academy, they kind of got out in front of that early. It was one of the first things we checked before we decided to go online. They have changed the rules of eligibility this year so that films premiering online can still qualify for their 2021 event. So for the past, I don't know, 10 years or more, we've had two Oscar qualifying categories. That's the best live action short winner and the winner of our best animated short at Galway. So when we verified with the Academy this year that they would still be eligible, not only did they say yes, but they actually awarded us with a third qualifying category. So this year, our best short documentary winner will also qualify. So hopefully after this year's competition, we'll be sending three filmmakers to the Oscars.
We'll
see.
That'd be great. And is there still going to be a pitching competition?
Yeah, I'm excited for that one to go online too. I think we've actually had a record number of entries this year since people don't actually have to travel to Galway to pitch their projects this year. The entries just flew in and people will be pitching over Zoom. And the whole thing will be broadcast live on our website, like so many of our other events. So the audience can still watch these filmmakers pitch their projects and compete for a €3,000 prize. And the judges then will also, deliberate online also. And the winner will be announced at our award ceremony, which will also be live streamed on the final day of the FLA.
That's great. So thank you for joining us. My final question for this interview is, do you see yourselves integrating some of the digital experimentation that you're doing now, sort of in a sense, maybe even pioneering, in future editions of the festival?
I'd love to. It's ultimately going to come down to cost. I suppose what you're getting at there is we've learned loads and it would be incredibly useful. For one thing, just the accessibility of it all. This will be the most accessible the film FLA has been in its 32-year history. People from all over the island of Ireland will be able to tune in to watch the films. So our ambition for this coming week is to really make every film we screen part of a national conversation online, and that's a part of it, the accessibility part that I'd love to carry forward. Also, the marketplace that I mentioned at the beginning, all of our meetings between filmmakers with projects in development and the sort of decision makers that are taking part will all take place online. And that's actually been a much more streamlined event this year because filmmakers can simply upload all of their promotional materials and their pitch packets and trailers and things to our online platform so that the decision makers they're meeting with can sort of assess them ahead of time or possibly even while they're talking to them online. So it's been a much greener festival, without having to produce loads of printed materials. That's been another advantage going online. I'd love to carry all these things with us, but creating your own bespoke streaming service is actually very expensive, it turns out. And I don't know that we'll be able to do both the physical and the digital simultaneously going forward. But if it's possible, we'll definitely, we'll try.
All right. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure and I wish you all the best.
Thanks a million, Matt. It was great to talk to you.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.